Matthew chapter 3 is where I want to land. And so let's read it together, Matthew chapter 3. You'll get some context right away as soon as we start reading. And then I want to just look at one aspect of this. So Matthew chapter 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judah and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That's where I want to land, verse 2, but let's just kind of finish the story. "This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist." That was the typical, you know, clothing of the day. You could see him on a, you know, front of a magazine or something, eating locusts and honey, you know, like just a really wild guy. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.'" There's so many contexts to that, isn't there? "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." There's this wonderful series that we've been working through this summer that God has given me. I felt like just speaking to me as Pastor Ben's been away. I've just been speaking, you know, 12 times in a row. It's been a treat, honestly. Oh, darn it, I have to preach again. It's like, awesome, right? But we obviously I really want Ben to speak as well, because he just brings the word in such a wonderful way. But you remember 3 weeks ago, "The hour has come," was the message. 2 weeks ago, "The day is coming," and today's message, "Repent, every one of you." It's really the seeker-friendly message during the summertime when we got guest speakers in here. You know, like, I don't know why God's just depositing these messages on me, but I'm having some fun. I'm really interested to see you next week when Pastor Junie is here from Winnipeg to see if his speaking is in line. It'll be interesting to see what he speaks on. And so I haven't told him what to preach on. I just always leave it up to the guest speaker to what they want to preach on. But I just was like, this is hilarious. You know, like, we're just going really hard into truth during the summertime. We're just like really pushing, you know, on your ideas or thinking about what the Word of God says and really challenging ourselves. Like, you need to repent and confess your sins to the Lord. And so what a fun time to just look at scripture like that. So in line with that, verse 2. So Matthew chapter 2, it says, "And saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And so repent. And so after the opening statement of, we know John the Baptist is there, he's kind of, you know, what is he saying? He's saying, repent, you know, for the kingdom of God is near. So this refers to, and we'll just flip just ahead a chapter. So we'll go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says these things. "The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God is near.'" And so we see this major theme that as we come out of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist arrives and he's saying something to the people. Jesus is saying the same thing. And we're going to see that all through for quite a while. If we flip to Acts, we will see after Jesus went through everything, the cross and his resurrection, and we see, okay, so what's happening? You know, through all of his life, all of his ministry, what's the last thing that he starts to say? Acts chapter 1, verse 3. "After suffering," after his crucifixion, "he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive." And he had to remind them, hey, I am here. "He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at near." So we see Jesus starts his ministry off about being water baptized. He begins by preaching about the kingdom of heaven. He reminds his disciples, keep preaching about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and every verse in between there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way into Acts. Repent, repent, repent. The kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of God is coming, or it's here. Can we actually experience it right now? And I think we have some good questions about that. So let's look at that a little bit. What other ways can we function or feel like the kingdom of God is near or it's here? Kingdom of heaven, we're going to get there one day. Kingdom of God here on earth. So Matthew chapter 21. We'll look at a couple verses here. Matthew 21, 28. What do you think? There is a man who had two sons. Here's a parable, Jesus teaching about what the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is like. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But he changed his mind later and went. When the father went to the other son and said to the same thing, he answered, "I will." But he never went. Which of the two did what the father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." And that's God teaching people that the kingdom of God, if we repent, we get right with the Lord, we're in heaven. We're in the kingdom of heaven, right? We still have to live out this physical life, this body, you know, always struggling, but we're in the kingdom of heaven. We're done. And so they're saying, like, what are you waiting for? What's holding you back? What kind of information do you need? What kind of knowledge, confirmation, sign, evidence do you need to give yourself to repent, to accept Jesus Christ into your life? What else do you need? Because God's inviting you. It's your choice, right? He invited two people. One said, he said, "No, not really." Then he thought about it. And he said, "Oh, actually, I'm going to go." The other one said, "Oh, yeah, I'm good." And then he never went. Like, you got to make a decision. It's for you. It's your choice. And I think sometimes we get so distracted by this world. We think being a Christian is crazy. Trying to live in this world that just seems so out of control. It's hard to operate in this world as a Christian. It's hard to follow God's ways and God's commandments. And I was golfing this weekend with my son in Prince George. And the ball was always going towards the water. He wanted to get baptized every hole. I'm like, what is wrong with my ball? Stupid ball. And so I go up to this pond where the ball went. I saw a splash, and this is what I saw. I had a picture here this morning of you. It's just this green soup, like the top algae. And I see this thing in there, you know, going around. What is that thing? And I finally got close enough with my camera. It's a honking baby duck like this. And it's just going around in this green goop, and the mom's just watching him, thinking, the mother's like, what's wrong? Don't let the duck play, and don't let the baby play in this gross, nasty, toxic waste. But I felt like God was saying to me, that's what life is like sometimes. We feel all alone. We feel like it's just totally out of control. You're just walking and living and just going through all the motions of life, and it just feels like there's no direction, feels hopeless. It feels like, what is all this all about? And God is saying that the kingdom of God is here for you. If you put your trust in him, because if you put your trust in the world or anything else, that's what it'll feel like at times. There might be some times where you hit a home run, you're like, that was great. You feel awesome one day. And the next day you feel like you're just swimming around in a bunch of soup. Like you're just nuts. You know, you don't know where to turn. You're thinking, this blindsided me. This came out of left field. Where did this come from? But if we're just having our eyes here, that's the problem. We have to have our eyes there. Get our eyes up. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's near. We're going to end up there one day. You keep having your eyes on these things, it's going to be difficult. I've lived there. I know this. I don't just preach it. I actually have lived that. You just feel, ugh. And I just feel like maybe recently with my health as well, and some of us can connect with that, our health. Like, I've been robbed of my health. Like, what is going on here? If I don't have my health, I can't follow God's laws or follow the kingdom. But actually, I can. God can still, if I keep my eyes on him, he can still use these opportunities to bring glory to his name. So we should be able to just, yeah. Everybody else is like, every second of every day, somebody's coming to know Jesus. And so again, what would be holding us back? What kind of information would we need to just repent and give our lives to Christ? I don't know the answer to that. Only God knows what you need to hear, experience, feel to bring you there. But God knows you intimately. He knows you personally. He knows every hair on your head. He will speak to you so clearly. We were learning this morning in the water baptism class. It was our third class this morning. We had three classes over the last couple of weeks talking about being water baptized, what that meant, what that looked like. And we were saying that even if you never heard the word of God, there's something internally that's drawing you towards God. I know so many unbelievers that I talk to that they say to me, I don't believe what you believe. I don't believe in that stuff. But there's something here that makes me feel like when I do something wrong, I feel it. When I drive by and somebody's hurt on the side of the road, I feel that. And that is something internal that's going on. And so internally, we have to make a decision at some point. What are we going to do with that? Because we know it's not right, some things we do. We know that act in a way, you know, what that feels like. And so what do you do with that, though? You've got to give it to the Lord. Everybody knows. You don't have to preach the word of God. Everybody knows truth. Everybody knows what's godly, what's right, and what's ungodly and wicked. You don't have to tell them. You know it. How many of you lived that way before you got saved? You didn't need somebody to remind you were wrong. You knew you were wrong. And you didn't need the police to remind you were wrong. You already knew you were wrong, or the courts of law. You knew you were wrong. And so we felt that. And so we came to the Lord. We found Jesus. We felt released in that. So let's stay released in that. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 3. Who can enter the kingdom of God? Oh, this is going to be good. I can just tell already. This from the heading. John chapter 3. Many of us are reminded of the story. Jesus is interacting with this guy, Nicodemus, super great guy, educated guy, but he has some questions for Jesus. Verse 3, in reply, Jesus answered. He's asking him about what this looks like, the kingdom of God. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. If you have some time, if you want to go a little bit deeper in that whole train of thought there, June 14th, 2020, I was preaching here by myself to a camera. Bah, you know, super crazy. The spirit, the water, and the blood. And so you can go back and find it on our website. You can hear more about this kind of that thought process about the born of water and the spirit. But I want to touch on it just for 2 seconds. Two thoughts that might come to your mind is like the first one is water and spirit. You know, you were born in a sack of water and came through the birth canal. So that could be a water. And then you're filled, you were baptized with the spirit of God. Could be looked at it like that. But what I really think is the stronger point here is that there's a regeneration by the Spirit signifying one's baptism. When you're baptized in the water, then you're also filled with the Spirit. It's not the only time you're filled with the Spirit, but there's this connection. So the kingdom of God is like somebody getting filled with the Spirit, getting baptized, experiencing the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what Jesus is teaching this very educated Nicodemus. Let's go on to just confirm that kind of a thought in Titus. Because, Pastor, nice idea, but show it to me in Scripture. Okay, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He, Jesus, saved us not because of righteous things we have done. Bingo! Thank you, Lord. Nothing to do with my works or my righteousness, but because of his mercy. There it is right there. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's what John is speaking about, the washing and rebirth, so we receive the Holy Spirit. Again, not by anything that we have done. Isn't that just great news that we just get to hear that in the Bible? Like, follow all the commandments, do this, 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 this. Impossible. But what we find here is that the mercy of God has brought us into relationship with him. Nicodemus is obviously a very educated man. He knew Old Testament. That was part of his requirements to be in a position like he was in. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. So Nicodemus should have known the answer to his question, but he was really asking God to just confirm it. But in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 to 27, we see the story in there. And so I want to look at it together just for a minute. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I remove from you your old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees, to be careful to keep my laws. There is no way that you will ever be able to follow God's laws and his requirements and experience the kingdom of God without his spirit. Do you see what that said? And I will put my spirit in you, I'll put my Holy Spirit in you, and move you to follow my decrees, Because if you try and do it in your own strength, and we talked about a communion time, if it was up to me and my grades and my efforts and my all that kind of thing, it is just unfeasible. But when you have the Spirit of God living, if you've repented of your sins and Spirit of God moves in, you have authority, man. When I didn't know the Lord, it was like, it was out of control, right? You know, swearing, drinking, drugs, all these kind of things. When I repented of all of that and the Spirit of God moved in, all of a sudden I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't honestly swear. My friends were like, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. You talk funny now. I said, I know. I feel awkward around you now. And so because the Spirit of God had moved in and set up camp and those things that were of this world that were even my own ideas and my own, gone. I had this new desire to follow God's laws. Without that, you will stumble and fall and crash and feel like that duck just swimming in circles, out of control. But when the Spirit of God moves into you, you'll have this new life, this new birth. It's the wonderful news. Word of God, so good. Okay, that was only verse Matthew 3, 2. There's so much more in there. But as always, we have to cut it out. I don't like cutting it out, but you only have so much time on your hands. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. I'll skip over all that wonderful other verses, but we'll just land a little bit here on verse 12. The winnowing fork is in his hand. Oh, man, we could go all kinds of rabbit trails on that one. We'll just leave that for a later conversation. And he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Gathering his wheat. There's something that goes on in this world where there's almost like a distinction. We're like, okay, Christians, yeah, you guys are there. Non-Christians over there. Maybe even sometimes in my life, I think about, we ask the question like, is that person Christian or not Christian? Especially when somebody passes away, we want to know. So we kind of separate in our minds and kind of separate in our thoughts or our friendships. We kind of, like we have, I have non-Christians in my life. Yeah, I'm kind of witness to them. And I've got these Christians I always hang out with and we do fun things together. And so I want to look at it scripturally, though, about how we really understand that and how we process that. And so let's go back to Matthew chapter 13, or go forward. So we're in Matthew chapter 3. Flip over 10 chapters to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. So here's Jesus teaching a parable about the thing that we're talking about here, repent, the kingdom of heaven. So let's hear about it. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came in and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. That's not good. Like anybody who's got a green thumb here is like, oh, that's bad. We got to get that out there. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? Look at the answer. It's Jesus talking. This is a parable. He's trying to teach us something. No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. That just doesn't make sense in my mind. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. That's exactly what Matthew chapter 3, verse 12 is teaching. You know, I'm going to clear the threshing floor, I'm going to gather the wheat, and we're going to burn off the chaff. It's the same story. And the disciples like me, like reality, if your heart's pumping and your brain's working, you're thinking like, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? We have to clean out all the bad stuff, right? We've got to take care of everything that's bad and evil. Let's get rid of it right away. You just think of, like, we don't want to be around anything that's bad. And so the disciples said to Jesus, this is crazy teaching. What are you talking about here? And Jesus says, let me explain this in detail. So if we just flipped over a couple verses, so we're in Matthew 3. I love the word for this. Think about this. You read that story and you're just like, I have so many, teacher, question. And then we see in verse 36, where is it? The parable of the weeds explained. Oh, there's the answer. I didn't even have to explain it for you because it's right there. Let's go find it. Let's go look at it. Let's read it. Verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Like all of us are asking. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That makes sense. The field is the world. We live in this world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. That's who we are. And do you see how clearly he says it there? I'll read the rest of it in just a sec. He says it right there. That it's the kingdom of people. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of right now. If it wasn't, if we were like, oh, we get to the kingdom of heaven, we give ourselves to God, and then we just have to suffer like a duck, swim in circles. No. He says the kingdom of heaven is here. You are the sons of the kingdom of God. It said that so clearly. Did you see that? Let's read it again. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send out his angels and will weed out the kingdom, everything that causes sin and who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous ones will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. Isn't that just a wonderful thought, eh? At the end of the world, we see again the angels doing the separating. We see God separating, you know, the believers from non-believers. I think that the reality for us is that the church globally, we see often people fall. So we know that there's true believers and there's unbelievers in any church around the world. And so what do we do with that? And we see here clearly of what to do. We just, God is the judge. God will do the separating. It's our response to love people because it's saying so clearly here, if we try and do the separating or the judging, we could damage other wheat. And that's just so clearly in Scripture. That's what God is trying to teach us. I love that thought. Because so often we feel like we're doing the right thing. We're going the right way. We're trying to be obedient to God and what he's saying. And God's saying, don't do that, though. Let me share a story with you. Hopefully this makes sense. You can laugh at me and, you know, joke around later. I'm in Prince George. Obviously, this is the last thing I did recently. So these are the stories I have in my mind. We're on the 10th hole, me and my son Emmanuel. And so I hit one pretty decently, you know, towards the pin. And this other shot goes off to the right. And so we thought, okay, it's on the other fairway, and there's some water there. I thought, you know, this thing does not RAV4, you know, it's not going to go through the water. We'll turn around, we'll go back onto the other course and start heading towards the ball, where the ball is. And so we're just driving the cart, going the opposite way, though, the wrong way. And so when you're going the wrong way with something, lots of times you don't see certain things that you would if you were going the right way. Because if you were going the right way, you would notice as you're approaching the green, those little bumps are actually like elevation changes. And there's retaining walls. But when you're driving a cart the wrong way, you don't see anything. There's just a little bit of an elevation change here. All of a sudden, and you're going full throttle, obviously, because you want to see how fast a car can go because it's your son and you're trying to show off. Look at this cart. Whoa. And all of a sudden, boom, boom. Like, I wish I had it on video. Like, I think we got airborne. Like, things, like, just were, like, it felt like things were going to fly out of the cart. And so we all just, and there was people watching. I was just like, you know, I just said, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. You know, you don't want to own that, right? So I felt so terrible. And I think it reminded me, actually, because I had written the sermon last week. I went away this weekend with my son. We went golfing. I said, I already just got my sermon ready. And then I that experience happened. I said, this is going to preach. You know, I just knew right away, I'm going to preach on that for sure, man. Because we're the same way in life. Sometimes we think we're just so right. We're just like we're doing the right thing. And then that happens. We're at a point of no return. Like we were committed. Like there was no brakes on this thing. Like, we were just going to go off this thing. I just want you to know, at the end of the tournament or the end of the experience, I went to the clubhouse. I honestly just said, I'm so sorry. You know, I apologize. That's your cart. And so I hope it's not broken. You know, things holding it together. But anyways, I felt guilty. I thought I got to go tell them, right? Anyways, that's just me personally. Okay, so sometimes, again, we think we're going the right way on certain things. But please allow scriptures like this. Please allow this thing to really guide you. And make sure that when you're going to do something difficult or have a difficult conversation, check in here first. You don't have to check in with me, but check in with God. God really wants to just, you know, when we weren't saved, when I wasn't saved, the person that witnessed to me and brought me to faith in Christ, didn't remind me of all the things I was doing wrong. I was in construction at that time, just, you know, freshly out of high school, and there was, you know, about six employees. The five employees plus me just talked this way. Man, I can't wait for this weekend. Oh, I got a bottle, and we're going to do this and all kind of stuff. And then we come in Monday, kind of half, you know, out of it from the weekend's experience, thinking, oh, I've got all Monday morning to recover because this job's so easy, right? And he never reminded me or pointed out to me, like, that decision is, you know, ungodly. Why would you do that? This is what the Word of God says, you know, da-da-da-da-da. What he did do, though, even though it's half cut, half out of it, right? He said, you want to come to church with me? I said, you're kidding me. It's the last place I want to go. If I go in there, I'll catch you on fire. It's nuts. What's wrong with you? And he just, okay, you know, next week, hey, you want to go to church with me? You were talking about girls or something. Hey, you want to go to church with me? Why would I want to go to church? Is there girls in the church? And I'm joking. It was, please. 21 years, Thursday, just, you know, to clear that up. But, you know, it was before I was, you know, okay, let's just make sure we're clear here. Hey, you want to go to church with me? Finally, after 50 times, I just wanted to get him off my back. I'm stupid church. Don't go there. So I said, I'll go to church with you. And I just sat there. And nobody said anything. I just felt, wow, God spoke to me. God touched me. I don't know the music. I don't know what was preached. I can't remember the building sometimes. But God does the separating. God does the judging. We are to repent, each one of us. We have to come to that place in that journey of life. And I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us would come to that journey of like, I need to repent. I need to get baptized. I need to grow and mature in my faith because God is saying it so clearly here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I know we're on summer holidays, and I'm happy to take breaks too. But the kingdom of God is present. It's always here. Any day it could come. Let's make sure that we're right with him. Let's get right with him. Peter and John, there's a story. I want to finish up with this thought here of why I think it's so important. Because we come all the time like, oh, there's this, all this stuff in my life. There's, you know, you feel like that duck. You're swimming around in circles. Like, I don't know what's going on. And you're looking for direction. You're looking for some peace. You're looking for some comfort. And we find a story here that's just so clearly wonderful. We see the Gospels here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The church is being going out after Jesus. We pick up the book of Acts, the gospel spreading out, and we see this story here. Peter and John are basically just going to church. They run into this crippled guy, and there's a story. And there's this one element in that story that sometimes we miss about because we want to hear the story. Oh, this guy got healed. He was crippled. He got healed. That's the greatest story, right? But within that, there's something that we can all take hold of because I'm actually not crippled. I got lots of issues, but I can relate to the story because of this. Here we go, Acts 3:18. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets. So everything's pointing towards this, saying that Christ would suffer. We know that the cross has so much significance. We get that. And because of that, we see in verse 19, repent then and turn to God. Because all of the Old Testament has suggested this and pointed towards this, and Christ did all those things for us. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped. That we get that. We repent of our sins. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So when we repent and turn to God, there's this dramatic lifestyle change where there is this refreshing that goes on that only God can do. And only God can do through repentance. When we repent of all of our sins, it's like we nail them to the cross, and then there's this refreshing, this freedom that comes. Finally, I can breathe because I felt so heavy with all of that sin, all that unconfessed sin. So when we confess, this internal refreshing goes on, and it will change you to follow his laws. Nothing else can. When you give it all to God, you say, God, I have nothing. You have it all. God in his mercy looks down and says, I love you. Let me refresh you now. Isn't that wonderful to think about? What in your life look like times of refreshing? It's all different. Some of us struggle in certain areas, some of us in other areas. But when God moves into that area, there is refreshing and there's joy and peace, all those things that the Bible talks about. When we hold on to unforgive or unrepentant, or we don't ask for forgiveness of our sins, we're holding on to poison. And we wonder why there's no refreshing, and there's no peace, and there's no joy. We just kind of hang on to it. We don't want to let it go. But if you just confess it to the Lord, just you and the Lord, just confess it to him, then rivers of living water, freshness, joy, and peace. That's what we're preaching about here. The peace of God, the kingdom of God is here. We don't have to just wait. Oh, the kingdom of heaven, I can't wait to get there because it'll be all perfect. Oh, hurry up, finally. But you can actually experience some of it today, right now, between here and there. Isn't that great news? Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Let's just close in a prayer. Father, for each one of us here today, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for working in our lives and speaking to us and reminding us of areas that where we haven't confessed, where we haven't repented. And so whatever that is right now, whatever's going on, Father, I pray in Jesus' name we would just let it go. Just give it to you. Whether you want to say it internally, just say it in your mind. No one's listening. It's only you and God. Say, God, I just forgive me for that. God, I repent of that. God, I need help in that area. I can't get free. I'm addicted. I need you. And now let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let him refresh you and give you peace and comfort and joy. Because that's our God. It's full of mercy and forgiveness and grace. There's nothing you can do to push him away permanently. He's always right there. He's always knocking. He wants you to invite him in. I pray you do that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.